That's Stu the honeybee. And last month, during his trip to Perth, Graham Kemlow met a man who started beekeeping as a boyhood hobby in South Africa. But he's now turned that into a thriving business in the Swan Valley near Perth. And his honey is tested and accredited for its active ingredients to heal certain infections in humans. Graham speaks to Rupert Phillips of the House of Honey.
Rupert, you've actually turned your hobby into quite an impressive business over there in the Swan Valley, just out of Perth.
Thank you. I sure have. A bit of a sea change there.
I didn't know what to expect, honestly. I saw, you know, House of Honey on my itinerary when I was over there visiting with the destination Perth. But to meet you and to see what you've done with the House of Honey, which sort of educates people about what the bees do, how many different products would you have there?
We have quite a few in different categories. We try and showcase as many honeys as we can get our hands on. In other words, as is humanly possible to take the bees to. But these are ever-changing all the time. So there are a lot of different things, including the honey. We also have beauty products, which are essentially made from everything produced by the bee.
Yep.
There's beeswax, there's soft drinks, all sorts of bits and pieces.
Yeah, and I noticed you had busfuls of people in there. You certainly know how to drag a crowd with your sweet treats made of honey.
Oh, thank you. Yes, we try and promote Australia's clean green image in terms of honey production, and we're one of the best places on earth actually to be producing honey because we're surrounded by this pristine bushland everywhere, and WA is a big place and there are a lot of trees and a lot of different options. So I think people are recognizing the fact that Australia is well known for these clean green products, and luckily for us, well, I guess honey is one of them.
Yeah, well, I couldn't not help but notice that you had a very, very large percentage of your customers were Asian. Now,
right.
Is that by accident or how does that occur?
Well, it's a bit of both. We do quite a bit of promoting of ourselves overseas with trade shows and so on through other parties, but I think it's just basically in the fact that a lot of our visitors are coming from China and Malaysia and Singapore and even Korea, Japan. And I think they have cottoned on to the fact that, once again, this is a lovely place to visit. And also we have some fantastic products produced in Australia.
And they buy quite a bit, do they?
Because shipping is quite exorbitant from Australia to some of these places, a lot of them come in and buy for friends. So they might throw a few more jars in the basket than they would normally have themselves. So that also obviously helps us.
So it's not a repeat of the dried milk powder situation.
I hope not.
Right.
But I think just once again, they just recognise that we have really good products here.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's something that is not always readily available overseas. There are some honeys that are available overseas. However, a lot of the varieties that we have here, we don't actually ship overseas. So, you know, they're very keen to get their hands on them.
Right. Is the overseas market aware of the, I use the term Manuka honey, the wellness and healing honeys that New Zealand seems to have cornered the market on, but I know you've got some equivalent product. Do the overseas market understand that product?
I think so, yes. One particular honey produced in WA called Jarra Honey is very well known overseas. They did have a fairly focused advertising campaign or marketing campaign around this honey some years ago, and that certainly cottoned on. So we don't only have the Manuka honey from New Zealand, and in fact that is actually produced in the eastern states of Australia, but we do have Jarra honey, which has also these great health benefits.
And so your jars or bottles of honey have a measure on them. It's not as large. I mean, some of the Manuka honeys I've seen have got 200, 300, 400. Yours are 20, 30 sort of level. What's the difference? Are you one-tenth as powerful, or how does that work?
Yeah, I could forgive you for thinking that. The fact is that there are two different tests. They do different tests on these different honeys. So the Manuka honey has one specific test to determine the MGO, or methoglyoxal, present in the honey, and the honeys from over here have an activity test, which is a TA test, which is a peroxide-based test, and it has a different scale. So you can't actually compare the two because they're incomparable.
Right.
It's actually difficult to pinpoint just what equals what in terms of, you know, if you said a 30 equals a 400, it's a bit difficult to determine that. However, they are two separate tests, so you can't compare the two.
Well, I do know from my experience a few years ago with a World Wound Management Conference here in Melbourne that that type of honey is used for chronic wounds and to help heal. So yours would be in the category of a healing honey?
Yes. Well, what they've determined by extensive testing is that some of these honeys with this high antimicrobial activity, what they do is when applied to a wound, and I'm talking particularly perhaps septic wounds, open wounds and burns on burn victims, the honey actually forms a hydrogen peroxide on the skin, which actually dries the wound out and then provides a sterile healing medium.
Okay.
So they find that the recovery of the skin or the epidermis is a lot quicker than using other dressings. So, and of course, you know, I would say perhaps in some circumstances it would work and others it wouldn't, but by and large, it works on a lot of people a lot of the time.
If I just can quickly ask you in the small amount of time we've got left, Rupert, what's this story that's going around at the moment about honey not being really honey and, you know, that it might be made of other things, flavoured like honey? What's the story there?
Well, this problem has emerged on world markets. Obviously, honey is a finite thing. You can't manufacture a honey per se because you're obviously reliant on the bees collecting the nectar from the trees, and it undergoes a chemical change in the bee's stomach. The sugars are actually inverted with an enzyme called invertase, and you end up with honey. So honey is a finite thing. You can't just produce it. It has to be produced by bees, and a lot of other factors are present, such as weather, climatic conditions, conditions of the bees, all sorts of things. So what is happening is some unscrupulous producers, I wouldn't even say producers, perhaps packers in foreign places, are actually adding to a particular honey. So say they would buy a honey and they would perhaps add a corn syrup or a sugar syrup or even a beet syrup to the honey, which has been screened and filtered, ultra-filtered, so much that it's actually difficult to detect what it is. So what they've done is they blended this with existing honey to bulk it up, so to speak, and therein lies the problem. You think you're eating pure honey and you're not. You're actually consuming some sort of corn syrup, which could have dire consequences for people who have allergies. If you have a look at any honey you're buying, if you're doubtful, you've got to ask or look for the label that actually says what percentage of that honey is produced in Australia. If it's 100% Australian, well, then you can guarantee that it is good. Put the House of Honey in your search engine, it'll lead you straight to our website.
So people who are overseas listening to this, it's thehouseofhoney.com.au.
You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.